Good evening. Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral on this, the evening of the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Light and peace in Christ Jesus our hope. Thanks be to God. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. Holy, immortal One, have mercy upon us. Welcoming God, make us apostles of your generous love, so that we might offer hospitality that challenges the world with your gift of eternal life, made known in Jesus Christ, who offered himself for us. Amen.
Praise you, through today and
is no end to your greatness. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your power.
I will ponder the glorious splendor of your majesty, and all your marvelous works. We shall speak of the might of your wondrous acts, and I will tell of your greatness.
They shall publish the remembrance of your great goodness. They shall sing of your righteous deeds. God is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great kindness.
You, O God, are loving to everyone. Your compassion is over all your works. All your works praise you, O God, and your faithful servants bless you.
They make known the glory of your majesty and speak of your power, that the peoples may know of your power and the glorious splendor of your majesty.
Your reign is everlasting. Your dominion endures throughout all ages. You, O God, are faithful in all your words and merciful in all your deeds.
You uphold all those who fall and lift up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon you, O God, and you give them their food in due season.
You open wide your hand and satisfy the needs of every living creature. O God, you are righteous in all your ways and loving in all your works.
You are near to those who call upon you, to all who call upon you faithfully. You fulfill the desire of those who fear you. You hear their cry and help them.
You preserve all those who love you, but destroy the wicked. My mouth shall speak your praise, O God. Let all flesh bless your holy name forever and ever.
Glory to God, source of all being, eternal Word and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and
Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward.
May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In our gospel today, Jesus is telling us about sending his disciples out into the countryside and into the surrounding regions. He is giving them instructions and resources for their mission. There is a theme here of nurture, mutual support, and provision. As a kind of final example, something they can keep before them as a simple lesson, Jesus says to them, "Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." One might say, here in a simple few words, Jesus is giving them a concrete step, a plan of action. These men and women would be uneasy a bit, and I imagine Jesus giving them a kind of, well, when all else fails, think of this. It's equipment for them on their journey. One might say also these words are at the heart of the Christian gospel, or they are the heart of the Christian gospel. And so then, what does it mean to follow Jesus? A simple response is, go and find someone who needs a cup of cold water and do your best to make sure they get it. What if we were to use cup of cold water as a metaphor for basic needs of all kinds, especially shelter or hunger? It seems so simple, doesn't it? We don't have to go far to find those who are in need of food and shelter. What if we were to take this a step further? What if that cup of cold water is a metaphor for justice? A metaphor for justice, and by that, by justice, I mean a fair share of all resources for all people. This is unlike our modern 2% of the population controlling 90% of the wealth. The lack of justice in the form of poverty and hunger were very real in Jesus' day. He confronted them in many of his teachings and parables. In the parable of the laborers of the vineyard, at the end of the day, the owner pays everyone a full day's wage, regardless of how much time they had put in that day. He knew that if a man went home with less, he and his family would go hungry. The owner has the resources and gives them all, enough to feed a family. He gives each of them, as it were, a cup of cold water. I used the verses of this gospel that we read today a long time ago when I was in a congregation in a small town in Alberta. There was a pastor of a congregation who wrote an article every week in the local newspaper. Their congregation had just used the local public swimming pool for their baptisms. The pastor describes the baptisms. The pastor then went on to use the baptism to tell his readers that this was a real baptism. It was a true baptism because it was by total immersion. Without naming any of the other churches in town, he went on to say that what other Christian groups did involving pouring of water or sprinkling of water were not true baptisms because they did not immerse the candidate totally in water, as he had done in the swimming pool. Well, I couldn't resist the temptation, could I? I wrote my own letter to the local newspaper. I use these words of Jesus that we read in today's gospel, especially the part, whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, etc. I went on to write a retort to the pastor. I forget which of the set of statistics I used, but I went on to say that there were thousands of people in the world who did not have clean drinking water, who would gladly drink the water from our baptismal fonts, which we so casually throw away. I chided him that only wealthy North Americans had the luxury of arguing about what quantity of water defined a true baptism. We would do better to make certain that everyone in the world who was thirsty for clean water did have clean water to drink. Only then might we have the luxury about how to discuss how much water involved a true baptism. In my mind at the time, I was probably thinking about faraway places in drought-stricken Africa. As I look back at what I said in my letter, I realize that even then, I was challenging my colleague and myself to strive for justice. I realized then, and I do so much more now, that the cry for justice is getting worked out in a real way in the struggle for clean drinking water. In indigenous communities right here in our own country, many still do not have clean and safe drinking water, while others of us pour gallons of clean drinking water on lawns to make them green. In 2013, Ralph Pentwood and Chris Wood published a book entitled Down the Drain: How We Are Failing to Protect Our Water Resources. Their descriptions of how we use and abuse clean water are disturbing, to say the least. Like how much plastic can be found in the Arctic Ocean, or how many communities in Ontario are still being told to boil their drinking water before drinking it. Today, I read this same gospel in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. With the shutdown of normal business, with the restrictions surrounding normal activities like grocery shopping, going to malls, mingling in crowded places, our churches closed down, canceling of sports events, etc., many of us find, as I find myself and I hear others, asking questions, serious questions. For example, what really is important in all that we have been doing in our daily life? How much of all that we have pursued as wealth and of necessity is really important? At the same time, I have read this gospel in the context of the murder of George Lloyd and the murders of many black men. In that context, Canada and the United States, and indeed many nations, are giving new force to the cry for justice. The cup of cold water is deeper and deeper, and even more important than just what we do with physical water. We are beginning to cry out to end the systemic racism that lies at the center of Western democracies. We realize that the cup of cold water really does stand for so much more. The racism that is built into our systems of government and culture deny that cup of cold water to many. Again, here at home, there has been a cry out for adequate education for those children with autism. There's a cry out for sensible, guaranteed annual income for all. And as we peel back the layers and ask what is really necessary, we ask how many of our pursuits are done at the expense of keeping large segments of our population poor or put down because of skin color or racial origin or sexual orientation. How much wealth do we pursue at the expense of others and the destruction of our planet? Now, my long ago discussion in the newspaper and even about water seems trivial, but it was a start. For me, it planted a seed that has grown. It may seem that I have strayed off the topic of giving a cup of cold water, or maybe not. Maybe the cup of cold water does stand for justice. Maybe the cup of cold water is justice. We have some new resources that I didn't have when I wrote that letter so long ago. Our own Anglican Church of Canada has produced a movie called The Doctrine of Discovery. If you haven't seen it, I hope you will. It is available on YouTube. It is an eye-opener about the process of colonization. The Right Reverend Mark MacDonald, our first national Indigenous bishop, said of this movie, and I quote, "This film points us in a direction where we can wake up and begin to understand who we are and where we are going to be, where we are going to be. It is part of a larger spiritual movement to redefine Canadian future in a positive way." End of quote. Also, we have opportunities for discussion and self-education through the documents that have come out of the Commission on Truth and Reconciliation and the study of the missing and murdered Indigenous women. Each of these three is about major process in our history and in our present, where we collectively have missed and continue to miss giving the cup of cold water. Our own diocesan website reminds us that hospitality is an important part of our story. It also goes on to say that striving for justice and peace is a core part of our faith. I invite you to search further into each of these three places in our faith community and its resources. Each of us can make real change happen, beginning with self-awareness on the part that each of us plays to bring a cup of cold water to the world around us. Amen.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and the great commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.
My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
For you, Lord, I have looked with favor on your lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. You, the Almighty, have done great things for me, and holy is your name. You have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You have shown strength with your arm and scattered the proud in their conceit, casting down the mighty from their thrones and lifting up the lowly. You have filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. You have come to the aid of your servant Israel to remember the promise of mercy, the promise you made to our forebears, to Abraham, Sarah, and their children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Almighty God, you have taught us through your Son that love fulfills the law. May we love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And may we love our neighbor as ourselves, through Jesus Christ our Lord,
who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Gather our prayers and praises into one and pray as our Savior taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Of grace and calm above. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.